You're back, and we're here today to talk about the Brian Schaefer case. As always, this is Z.
And this is Amy.
And this is Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Okay, before we get started, I do want to thank Amy. She sent me a microphone, so hopefully you can tell that I do not sound like I'm sitting in a dingy bathroom anymore.
Which is where you usually record, so...
Typically. But yes, hopefully it sounds a lot better. And I just wanted to say thank you and to, again, let you know why you are hopefully hearing a big change in the quality of the recording here. Yay. We also have a Patreon account, which was put out earlier this week. And it is another way to give back to our podcast going forward. The money is going to be used to upgrade our equipment. Amy and I eventually would like to meet in person, so that would help us do that and allow us more access to paid resources and materials so we can buy books and gain access into different websites to get better information for the episodes.
You know, as we envision Curse Words and Crayons for the future, we'd really love to see more resources for the community as well. So if you feel so inclined, we would love your support.
Exactly. You can join for $1 a month, and there are different tiers which will allow you different access to certain things. We're putting together a Discord group, so that's for the $3 access. And again, you can go to Patreon. There will be a link in the bio on our Instagram account, and that'll take you directly to it. I did want to say, because Amy's going to start us off with this one, I did want to say that I looked at more photos of Brian Schaefer, and he is kind of handsome, and he only has shifty eyes in the black and white ones, okay? So okay. I did want to not retract my shifty eye statement, but give you some input that, yes, I have seen a couple more photos, and maybe that was a slightly harsh judgment.
Boy, was attractive. Like, he is a good-looking dude. And so he's got, like, that very, like, Midwestern kind of, like, chisely face type of look. But I was thinking about your shifty eye comment, and I'm like, I could see that. I could see a couple shifty eyes in that.
Exactly. I mean, the eyes are a tiny bit shifty, okay? I'm not fully retracting that. But, yes, more handsome than I previously thought.
Well, good. Glad that we cleared that up, for sure. Brian Schaefer was last seen wearing jeans, a blue or green striped shirt, and tennis shoes. He is 6'2" and around 170 pounds with brown hair and hazel eyes. Really kind of starts on March 31st when prior to going out for the evening, Brian had dinner with his dad. And according to Brian's dad, he actually postponed going out because he was worried about his dad. Just 3 weeks before, Brian's mom had passed away. She had been battling cancer. So when Brian left his dad, he went out with a friend. Clint Florence is who he had originally kind of started the evening with. And at about 9 o'clock, they started bar hopping. The bar is called the Ugly Tuna Saluna, which is by far the worst name of a bar, I think, maybe ever. Now, around 10 o'clock, Brian calls his girlfriend, but I've heard conflicting things about the phone call. I saw on the Dateline clip today that according to Alexis, according to her, she talks to him, but a lot of the other accounts say that he left her a message. So there's a little bit of a miscommunication there.
I did also feel conflicted when I was doing research because I both heard that she said she spoke to him, like she verbally said, I spoke to him.
Yeah.
But then I heard that I listened to the message that he left her.
But I mean, either way, if you have ever gone out drinking without a significant other and, you know, if you talk to them on a regular basis, like there may have been a lot of calls and texts and different kind of real stuff relayed back and forth. So who knows? But there was some, you know, some sort of contact exchanged around 10 p.m. She was visiting her parents and was supposed to come back over the weekend because they were going to leave to go on a trip. So at about 1:15, Brian and Clint, who had met up with another friend, Meredith Reed, enter the Ugly Tuna Saloon again for the second time. So
they'd actually called Meredith, excuse me, but they'd actually called Meredith and told her what bar they were at. She was the driver.
Right.
It was her vehicle. So she picked them up from one of the bars and they went to the Ugly Tuna Saloon together.
So at 2 o'clock is when last call is going to happen. So at about 1:55, so like 5 minutes before everything's going to shut down, Brian tells Clint and Meredith he's going to go and talk to the band. Now, since this has happened, there has been a lot of, once the case finally opened, there was a lot of investigation into the people, a lot of camera footage review, according to the Columbus City Police. But the band members don't recall this at all. They have no recollection of talking to Brian at all. Around the same time, there is video footage that you can see Brian in the corner where he kind of reemerges through the footage and you can see him chatting with two women. And then he walks away. They ultimately end up leaving the bar without him. They don't see him. There's no footage of him leaving the bar.
In some timelines, they say that he was seen talking to the girls first, walked away, went and told Meredith and Clint that he was going to go talk to the band members after. So again, there's some people were drinking. The timeline's like not, I mean, it's a solid timeline, but sure. It's a little up for interpretation.
I think what also makes it kind of difficult is that you're dealing with, like you said, people that are drinking. Like, if you were to ask me on a night that I was out drinking with my friends, like, tell me minute by minute what happened, I'm not gonna be able to tell you that. And whether or not they were involved in that, but also they're not his keeper either. Like, if my friend wants to go off and talk to people, I'm not gonna be like, oh, well, you've got 15 minutes. I'll see you, you know, I'll see you soon. So it sounds like they made an attempt, according to them, to look for him before they left the bar. Next day, nobody hears from Brian. They say, I've heard different things, and we're going to talk a little bit about the weirdnesses of this case in a bit, but nobody could reach him. If my significant other or my brother or my sister or whatever, like, I knew they had gone out drinking the night before and I can't get a hold of them the next day, I'm probably going to raise more of an alarm. We're going to talk about this later, but nobody gets a hold of him on Saturday the 1st, Sunday the 2nd. Monday morning, Alexis goes to the airport where he and Brian doesn't show up. So it's at this point that they finally call the police and they say, hey, he's missing. Now, this has been like a full like 2-3 days that he hasn't been seen. And now they've called the police.
You've never gotten drunk and lost your phone anywhere?
No.
And didn't know your girlfriend or boyfriend's number? I have. I mean, I'm not even gonna fucking lie. I might call my mom and dad though to let them know, hey, you gotta buy me a new phone because mine's gone.
See, but that's the thing. That's the key there though. If I had gotten drunk, lost my phone. Number one, I feel like I'm always on my phone. Now this was what, 2006? So maybe it was just kind of like, well, maybe he lost his phone. Maybe he was prone to losing his phone a lot. Maybe this was like a usual thing for him. I feel like if it was my mother or my father, they would be calling, like, my mom would have done called the police at this point. Maybe that just wasn't their relationship. There was a lot kind of going on in his family at the time. So I don't know. But
My parents wouldn't have noticed. My parents wouldn't have noticed because I didn't call them every day. So it could have been the weekend. Maybe they wouldn't hear from me until Monday. I always used to call my dad at the bus stop, or I went to a school at a very big campus. So as I was walking back and forth from classes, I'd call him. However, just the fact that, I mean, his girlfriend not hearing from him is weird, but his father also not hearing from him to in some way get a cell phone of that is when they get to, I can understand how it went until Monday morning is what I'm trying to say. Now, it's weird that she just showed up to board the plane without him and was like, oh, maybe he'll show up. Maybe he won't show up. That's peculiar. Mm-hmm. But also, his mother had just died of cancer. Maybe he was going through some things. Maybe she was trying to allow him that space to go through those things. But once she got together with his dad on Monday morning, it became apparent homeboy's missing.
So now they've officially decided they're going to call it. They need to get a hold of the police. Dad checks the apartment. His car is there. His school books are there. The bed looks like it hasn't been slept in. Everything is intact at this point. But Brian was at this point in time in his second year of medical school. So I guess depending on your program, medical school can be anywhere between like 4 and 10 years. So he was still relatively early in his program, I would imagine, because you've got like 4 years of school and then like a residency. So it does seem odd if the theory, and we'll go into theories later, is that he picked up and left, like it's kind of a lot of time to be invested to just walk away from, but also still early on. So that kind of takes us to the end of our timeline of the actual night, but we're going to kind of talk now a little bit more about like some other facts that are kind of involved in the case.
So Brian's brother had mentioned that Clint was speaking negatively about Brian. Mm-hmm. I wanted to note that earlier that month even, right? Brian, Clint, and Meredith all were at a party where they were out together, and Clint and Brian had gotten into a verbal altercation. Brian ended up leaving this location, and both of those people ended up following him back to his apartment. And those are statements that people close to Brian had made. They also had previously been roommates. They were no longer roommates. People had said it was because of some sort of, maybe not altercation, but some sort of, they weren't happy living together.
Did you see anything about how they became friends?
I didn't. Did you?
The only reason I mentioned that is because I didn't either. And I know that they were roommates. So they could have been matched. Like it could have been like they were roommates in the dorms. But like from the video and from like what I'm seeing of Clint, they looked like an odd pairing almost. Like, I don't know. Clint kind of seemed like he didn't really have his ish together, you know, I don't know Brian's whole situation, but like, you know, he's like a medical student. Like that seems like you've got to kind of be put together, but.
Brian's whole dream in life was to become a musician and to be essentially like Jimmy Buffett. He wanted to sit in the sand with a margarita in his hand is what he had told people that he was just on his Facebook page. He said that he was just doing medicine, basically to do medicine, but that was his whole dream. And he was actually a decently talented musician. He played guitar. He sang pretty well. So maybe that, since Clint doesn't look exactly like the type of friend that you might picture for him.
Right.
Or also, maybe that's just who he liked to hang out with on his free time. Maybe he wanted to let his own hair down. It's like, this is my dude.
I didn't read so much about the music. I knew he was really into music, but I did also read that he was like a really good tennis player.
Oh, like, yeah.
He has a lot of weird interests.
But he quit in high school because his coach told him that he had to cut his hair. And so instead of cutting his hair his senior year, he was like, yo, fuck you, and didn't.
Well, there is obviously some backstory, you know, when friends fight and friends argue. And so, like, it could have been nothing. It could have been a big deal. Who, once they declared him missing and kind of all of the investigations started, there were, like, search parties. They searched the whole area. They searched all of, like, the bar. Where the bar was, there was, it was a large construction site. So, because they were doing a bunch of construction. So, like, they were worried, like, he had fallen. They were worried that he could have gotten, like, hurt at in some instance. But there's a lot of different theories, and we're going to jump into those and kind of talk about some different scenarios. And here's what happens with, you know, with missing person cases, is that there's just so many what ifs. But let's go through some of those theories.
Theory number one, he was snuck out in one of the band's equipment boxes, either dead or alive. And I like this theory because I was, you shouldn't, if he is deceased, I'm sorry for laughing. You just, to me, that is a funny theory. Not a funny theory, but I like it.
Can you imagine, like, opening up, like, the case and, like, here's just this dude, like, alive or whatever, like, here's a dude in there, like.
Have you heard about the famous drag queen that after they died, they ended up finding a dead body in their trunk? Also, excuse me, but I, like, the name of that person is just escaping me right now. But yes, there was a drag queen that in the 80s, early 90s, something like that, maybe early 80s, that a dead body was found in a trunk of theirs after they passed.
Maybe we need to cover that case.
Yes, they said either dead or alive, carried out in some of this band's equipment boxes. And which would, to me, indicate that the band members were part of it. And here's the reason why I don't think, even though I like this theory, the concept of it, I don't think that that's correct, because the band members are friends or have played with one of the members from True Crime Garage. And I just feel like he would have known if they were sketchy people. Do you get what I feel?
Yeah. So another theory that is out there. So if you're familiar with Columbus, the Olentangy River runs through downtown. And it could be very easy. King Avenue is also very close to the river. So it could have been that he was drunk. He had walked home. He slipped into the river and he drowned. Could he have slipped into the river and drowned? It's possible. But would we have probably seen some evidence of that? That's also possible.
There's also a chance that he could have somehow snuck out and not been seen. Not snuck out per se, but taken a different exit out of the bar that either wasn't being properly recorded, because, you know, the CCTVs can glitch every seconds, or they're just not the most clear images all the time. So there is a possibility. Security officers have stated that it is possible to leave the Ugly Tuna Saluna without being seen on the camera system, especially if they went through the back entrance that employees and band members use nightly.
Another theory is that he could have potentially committed suicide either that night or the next morning. But again, with this theory, like, where did he go then? Like, what, where is he? Like, I mean, yes, he could have committed suicide, but.
Another theory, did he fall into a nearby construction area and either die or get really hurt? Because they did concrete areas near there. I think that was all done beforehand, but they were also building walls. Could he have gotten drywalled into something? Could he have somehow gotten paved over somewhere with concrete? Is his body carpeted over somebody's office?
There's a Brian-sized lump in your carpet. You should check under there.
Probably. I wonder if they've ever done one of those scans where you can see through walls and concrete, like they've done with Indian burial grounds, where they can, again, without leveling, or did I make that up? Is that alien technology?
No, that's a thing. I've seen I've seen that like technology used in like old buildings where like you're trying to see if there's, it's not like foolproof where like, it's not like an x-ray where like, oh, you can see a cut, but like you can see like heat signatures or like certain things through it. I mean, there wouldn't be any heat signature off of the body, but Columbus police spent a lot of time and resources on this case, which, I mean, he is a middle-aged or a middle-class white man, so of course they did. But there were a lot of resources used on this case, and they did a lot of searching of that specific area, specifically because of the construction. And they were worried that something could have happened. But that doesn't mean, I mean, it's not perfect. It could have been somewhere else. They could have done it, you know, who knows. But so this next theory, I mean, it's kind of, was there people in his life involved in the disappearance? There is some sources that say that the relationship between Bryant and his dad wasn't in the best spot and wasn't that great. His mother had passed away 3 weeks earlier. Could it have something to do with the life insurance policy on his mom? Could it have something to do with something with their relationship? Now, the dad claims he was super worried about him, and so they were spending time together the night before. But who knows? I mean, people say a lot of things. But there was also conversation that Clint and Brian were seen arguing even that evening. Is it that something had happened and they got in an altercation and, you know, Clint pushed him and he hit his head and he died and then they covered it up? Nothing, all of the leads that were like kind of pointing towards family or friends were turned up with no results. But I mean, there's definitely ways to cover that up. So it could be.
I read on theories. We're still on theories.
Yeah.
So another theory is one that I read on a very deep Reddit thread, and it stated that maybe Brian left, again, wasn't seen on the camera footage, because there's a lot of camera footage. So a Reddit thread that I read said their theory was he somehow missed all the cameras and went to a local strip club and was abducted from that strip club. Apparently, it's easier to get abducted from strip joints than to not get abducted from strip joints, to which I say, no, sir. Yeah, I just thought I would mention it because I thought it was funny. In no way, shape, or form do I believe that theory. I thought it was interesting that people, again, are just pulling anything out of their ass.
Right.
When we don't know what happened to people, we make up all sorts of things.
I think this is my struggle with cases like this one, where like we legit have no answer as to like what happened. Even the Eliza Lamb case that we covered, we did that through Instagram a couple of months ago. Like, I think the fact of the matter in that case, she was a very mentally ill woman, and like it just, her mental illness just spiraled and that's what happened. But there are so many theories surrounding that case, down to like the elevator game where you hit buttons in a certain sequential order and you end up in like a circle of hell, where it's like, okay, but what really happened? Like, that's okay, but he got abducted from a strip club. Okay, he got abducted by aliens. Like, yeah, I mean, sure, I guess, but I don't know. So another theory, and this is kind of like our last theory we're going to go over, and I don't want to dive too deep into this because it is a total other case of itself, and maybe someday we will cover that. But at the time, there were some cases tied to the Smiley Face Killer, where it is essentially a group of killers who target like young white college-aged men. And then they are identified by like smiley faces spray painted by the location of where they were murdered. So according to some cases, like 45, 50 people plus, they're saying were murdered by this. Now it's not like one person. They think maybe it's like a group of people. There are a ton of podcasts already out there about the Smiley Face Killer if you're interested in that. But at the time, I believe there was another case in Columbus that was connected to the Smiley Face Killer, which is why they had kind of thought, well, maybe this too is attached to that. But in all cases of the victims of the Smiley Face Killer, the victim was found.
So there are things outside of the theories that just very much struck us as strange happenings. One of those things for me is surrounding the family. And my theory is they are haunted in general.
Okay.
By bad vibes or whatever, you know, because 3 weeks earlier, his mom had died of cancer, and then his dad ended up actually passing away tragically in 2008, which was 2 years later. So within 2 years, three of the four members of this family is now, they're gone. How awful is that for Brian's brother?
Right. And the last remaining dude.
Exactly. And regardless of what your belief system is, like, tell me that that's just not like straight up bad vibes covering that family.
One, that's like, I mean, people get cancer and that's sad. Like, not soup's weird, you know, like it happens. But then like somebody goes missing and somebody gets killed by like a act of nature. Like, it is a little bizarre. I would be interested to know more about like the family's like dynamic, like their history. I don't know. I feel like I always have more questions when we finish these cases than answers, but that's what it is. So something else that strikes us as weird that has to do with like technology or maybe the haunting, who knows? So after they declared Brian missing, the girlfriend called his phone every night. Every night he would call, and normally it would go straight to voicemail. So he would call and like the phone wasn't on or it was dead or something had happened. Homegirl did this for months. 6 months after he went missing, it rang three times and then went to voicemail. Now, they got a hold of the cell phone company. His cell phone company was Singular Wireless. Anybody who's old remembers Singular Wireless. They're now AT&T. But they got a hold of the company. The cell tower that it bounced off of was in Hilliard, which is like 30 minutes outside of Columbus. So very close. They said that it could have just been a glitch. But three times, it rings three times. Like, I feel like one ring, okay, glitch. Like, maybe that happens. Three times feels really weird to me. So whatever call that they had tested was, they say, this call that Alexis had made. And it was the tower it had pinged off of was in Hilliard, which...
You want to know a fun fact about that as well? It also, one of the places that they located that ping could have came from was just so happened to be in the area that the owner of the Ugly Tuna Saluna was living.
Boom! New theory.
I'm just saying that was also on a Reddit thread that... But I did back it up with actual factual information that Yes, one of the areas that the police ended up searching for Brian's cell phone during the investigation was right down the street from the owner of the Ugly Tuna Saloon.
There is a theory that he like somehow died. The employees freaked out, called the owner, and like according to this theory, they were like, the owner was like, we'll deal with it. You just leave him there and go home and whatever. And like, he could have cleaned it up. Now, that being said, everything that I've read, the owner of the Ugly Tuna Saloon was very cooperative in the investigation. So who knows? But that is interesting. I had not heard that.
He's a straight up dick, though. If you go online and you look at their reviews, sometimes people will post a negative review that says that they weren't allowed to go in and look for Brian Schaefer, which don't do that. That's gross. Don't do that. Like, don't pester this poor owner. But then his response back to these people are like, you're so stupid. Why would you want to straight up nasty? Nasty comments that he's making back on a public page that's promoting his business. I just can't even. Negative reviews suck. Don't leave negative reviews. I mean, yes, leave them if you feel like you have to, but not about something like that. However, if somebody is posting or saying negative comments about you, don't lower yourself down to that level. Try to just let it flow off of you because, yeah, you're doing yourself a disfavor.
Yeah.
It's your life tip of the day from Z. Write it down, live it.
On the subject of phones, though, the girlfriend gets the call around 10 p.m. that evening. And he leaves a message. Was that normal? Did he know that he was going to leave? I do. Now I said before I didn't hear that voicemail, but that's a lie because I did hear it. They played it on a podcast and it was very like lovey lovey, like I love you and blah, blah, blah. I hope you're having it like kind of like smushy, smushy, like you would send your boyfriend or girlfriend. So did he know like I'm leaving? So like I'm leaving, like I'm getting emotional about leaving. I'm getting emotional about whether it's like I'm going to go like kill myself or I'm straight up leaving.
To me, it sounded like a normal voice message that you would leave a significant other just to leave a significant other, though. It wasn't very long, and he basically was just, oh, I love you so much. You're such a great girlfriend. Maybe he was feeling really happy with his giggle juices because he had been down in shots for the last he had been drinking since 5 p.m. with his dad. I think he ordered an alcoholic beverage at dinner, which, whatever, he was out to have fun. So he's taking some shots. It's 10 p.m. Maybe they're starting to really, maybe he feels great and he just wants to call and tell his girlfriend, guess what? I love you. Right. It wasn't that peculiar, even though, yes, I agree that it, for me, if I was going out with the girls, I don't remember how I was in college anymore, to be honest, but if I'm going out with the girls now, I am not calling Roberto. I'm not calling him at 10, leaving him a nice message. I am out on the town doing my thing.
If I was out, I would be like, deuces, I'm with my friends. But I don't know. I also, like, if I was really drunk, maybe I would want to leave, like, a sweetie sweet message. But on the subject of the girlfriend, all the reports, everything from like family and friends are all saying that Brian for sure was going to propose to her. They were supposed to go to Miami. They were supposed to leave for Miami on Monday. There's nothing that I was able to find that said like he purchased a ring or anything. Not that you have to have a ring to propose, but there's also some conflicting information from the two girls he was seen on the camera with that he was like very flirty with them. So maybe he wasn't ready to commit. Maybe he was still having issues from his mom passing. A lot of people were saying he was going to propose. She said she thought he was going to propose. But maybe he was looking for a way out.
Because her father, when he was interviewed in somewhere, stated that he did not feel as if they were at that point of their relationship yet. Which, I mean, you would think that her father would. But if she said, maybe that's just not the kind of relation. Maybe that's not the kind of relationship that Brian and Alexis's father had.
That's a good point, though, because not that like everybody does this, but like, you know, isn't it like tradition that you like ask for the father's hand? Like, is dumb.
Where but I'm from.
It's what you're supposed to do. So it's like maybe he wasn't ready and maybe she was putting pressure on him and saying like, yeah, he's going to propose. I know he's going to propose. And she wasn't. She was ready and he wasn't. But there's nothing in anything that I'm able to find that's like, yeah, for sure, he had a ring. It was a for sure thing. He was proposing. That's all pure speculation.
Correct. No ring was ever found. And then going back to the two women that you said that he was flirty with, one of them was interviewed for a podcast that I listened to, which was Brian Schaefer, Dead or Alive. It ended up being better than I thought it was. She interviewed the lead detective on the case, and she also interviewed one of the women that Brian was seen talking to. She stated that he was aggressively hitting on them. Use the word aggressively. So apparently he was being very flirtatious. Asked for her number. She specifically remembered taking his phone, putting her number in his phone, and handing it back from them, or handing it back to them. Apparently, these were Clint's friends. This was one of the first times that they had met Brian, but neither one of those women were asked to take polygraphs. And maybe he was, ugh, look, I don't like cheaters, okay? Especially now that Yeah, especially now that I'm married, but even more so, if you don't want to be with somebody, don't be with somebody. You don't need to cheat right. on them. Especially right. if you're married, it almost makes a tiny bit more sense to me. I'm sorry, because your things are tied together, financial reasons. No. Don't do it. Don't cheat on your significant other anyways. That's disgusting, in my opinion. But these are college med students. Just tell her that you don't want to be with her. You don't have to cheat on her. Gross, 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 Brian. Why are you being creepy creeps? No wonder you have fucking shifty eyes, or I thought you had shifty eyes. It's because you were being a creeper that night, and I do not approve.
Agreed on all accounts, but there are some parts of theory, or if these are like actual proven things, that he would had been talking to Alexis and saying like, you should go find another relationship. I'm not the person for you. He was having a lot of grief issues with his mom passing.
Yes, he did tell Alexis that he wasn't able to get over his mother and for her to find a new relationship. He had also talked to Alexis, to backtrack just the tiniest bit, he had also talked to Alexis about running away with him right after his mom's funeral. And so one of the theories is that he disappeared into the night, never to be seen of again, to start sure. his new life.
Right. You know, was his passion was music, and he, you know, was kind of brought into the medical field, and he was just doing it for whatever. And then his mom dies and he realizes life is too short. I got to get out of here. I can't deal with this anymore. Now, I say to that, how come nobody literally has ever seen him since then forever? But I don't know. He seems like a smart dude. Maybe he's able to like get gone and not worry about it.
Or maybe he did try to run away and disappear into the night and was killed somewhere along the way. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, now back to the friends that he was with that night.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing that I found that stuck out to me in particular that was odd. There was talk that Brian was out that night with more than just Meredith and Clint. Basically, Brian rode with Meredith and Clint, but he was there with more people, one of whom, or a couple of whom, he hadn't met before that night. So apparently he was out with a full-on entourage, and yet when I went to try to find out more information, it was only very, very, very sporadically here and there. So who else was he with, and did they have any did they have a connection with his disappearance? And why haven't we heard about them? Or have we just not heard about them because in the grand scheme of things, they're not important it to do with the story? They were there, yes, but so were hundreds and hundreds of people probably at that bar that night.
Right. Now, I didn't go to college in a town that is as big as Columbus, but like when my friends and I would go to the bar, we would usually be like, maybe I would come with like a core group of people, but we would usually have like other friends there, people that, you know, were townies and lived there and whatever. So, I mean, I guess that would make sense. But the fact that we don't even hear, like, we only hear about Clint and Meredith, and it's never like, yeah, Joe was out there too, and like, he didn't have it. But why wouldn't you hear about that either? We talked also a little bit earlier about how there was like a smash and grab at his apartment. But the stuff they stole was really odd. Like a couple of DVDs, a DVD player, but he had like a guitar and like really expensive stuff that was just left but never touched.
Yeah, they did find some personal belongings at his apartment. So apparently they didn't find his cell phone, but they did find some of his credit cards, and all of his guitar equipment and everything like that was still there. Okay, I know we've said this at least 800 times, but all this took place on April 1st. Do you know what day April 1st is?
It's April Fool's Day.
It is April Fool's Day.
So, but according to the Reddit theory, like, what does that mean? Like, but creepy things, like, it's usually like jokes. Like, this is a really long running April Fool's joke, if that is what is happening.
Correct. I have no idea what it means. I just thought it was interesting.
Just kind of weird.
And kind of weird. And so I made a note of it because after reading April 1st 150 times, I still did not realize that it was April Fool's Day. And I thought, you know what? Maybe somebody else didn't realize that either. So I thought I would bless your brains with that.
Joke's on you, Brian Schaefer. You're missing. The last thing that we didn't mention in this weird stuff that I'm kind of surprised that I did not make a note about this because I do think it's super weird. So Brian's dad died 2 years after he went missing. So you know how you have like those online obituaries? There was a comment in the guest book that said, I love you, Dad, or love Dad, goodbye, Dad, something about Dad. And then in parentheses, it said Brian Schaefer, Brian, U.S. Virgin Islands. So this sends the Columbus police back into a tailspin, and they're like, okay, we got to go look. We got to go check this out. Upon further investigation, the comment was written at a public library in Hilliard, which is also where the phone was found.
So there is an ongoing theory, actually, that Clint was the one who left that comment. Wouldn't that be just pure craziness? And then it would really hit home or make the theory that Clint had a part in said disappearance. Yeah. It would make that theory stand out more to me if Clint was the one that left it, because that's malicious.
What if he had something to do with the disappearance or not, and he like still has old dude's phone and he's just like hanging on to it?
Ugh, serial killers do that.
Which is gross.
Was it B2K? BTK, excuse me, that kept, it's like the Backstreet Boys, but B2K, it's our new band name. Yeah. I don't know what it stands for yet, but we'll come back on our next episode.
We'll figure it out. We'll workshop it. It's good.
Exactly. But didn't he keep cell phones?
That is creepy. I had not heard that they thought it could potentially have been Clint. Like,
bum, bum, bum.
Dun, dun, dun. Give me what you think. Like, what are your final kind of thoughts on all this?
Really, I think I think he left the bar and something happened to him and he just somehow hasn't been found. Maybe he washed down the sewer drains. I don't know. It's very strange that he hasn't been found. But what I like to think happened is it is aliens. It is an alien abduction because this family is so haunted.
They're like studying him on another planet.
They're doing it. They're doing it.
Tragedy.
It was just part of the bad vibes of their family, the bad luck that they just, you know, I don't know, Amy. It's just such a weird, it's such a weird case. But all jokes aside, I think that he is deceased. And I think that it, because that area isn't a great area. They have cleaned it up a lot, and they had cleaned it up a lot around that time, but it's not, it wasn't the best area that he lived in, and it wasn't the best area, just like any downtown-y area for where sure. there's going to be crime.
Columbus in general has a lot of shenanigans, so it could have been something nefarious. Something could have happened. It could have been an accident. I feel like there's so much that could, like, if. I like to believe that he was following some dream that wasn't his own, and he said, you know what, I'm going to go, and I'm going to start a new life, and that's what he did.
He lives on a hut on the beach somewhere?
Something. Maybe he just made it somewhere, and now he's just, like, some beach bum, and he's, like, teaching people guitar lessons or something. I don't know. I don't want to think that he, like, got stuck in a sewer drain and he's dead. Like, that's sad.
I want to think he's sad.
Doing something great. Or he's with aliens. So, I'm okay with that, too. That opens up a whole new book of questions, but I would be okay with it.
It would make sense on why we did not see him on any of the footage. He just said, yo, beam me up, Scotty.
Again, after last call, he went to the bathroom. They abducted him from the bathroom.
That was it.
So we solved it. Case solved. He's been abducted.
Aliens.
You know, cases like this, it's sad. It's sad when we don't know what happened. I think it's hard for this family, and I think more so it's hard for his poor brother who doesn't have any answers, and now all of his family is gone. But Brian would be like in his 40s today. So it would be nice if someday we were able to find out what happened, but I just don't know that that's going to happen. I feel like it's been too long, but that takes the case. That wraps us up. Don't forget, check out our Patreon. If you feel so inclined to join one of our tiers, please do so. You can find us on Instagram, collectively at Curse Words and Crayons. Come hang out. Come chill with us. Be a part of our community. Thanks for listening. Be nice to each other, and see you next time.